invite you to turn to the Word of God and we hear the good news, what happened so long ago. A little town of Bethlehem. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, looking at the message of peace. We have been looking at the gifts of Christmas, hope, joy, love, peace, the things that come to us only through Jesus Christ alone. If you want to turn in your Bibles to page 1594, we're going to read about the time where Jesus was presented in the temple. It is a part of the Christmas story. A man named Simeon, we often hear about that. Well, it happened about 40 days after Jesus Christ was born. So beginning at verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On the one hand, this is just an ordinary moment in the life of. Many people were coming to the temple and they were just doing what faithful Jewish people always do. They would go to the temple, give sacrifices to the Lord, praise Him, offer more sacrifices, and then just fellowship with one another. Mary and Joseph, just an ordinary faithful couple doing what faithful couples do. According to Leviticus 12, after the birth of a child, the mother had to go through a time of purification that lasted for 40 days. And then she had to bring a burnt offering to the Lord, a lamb if you were wealthy, two turtle doves if you were not so wealthy, and you could afford that. And you had to, according to the law, offer that to the Lord. And they were also, because Jesus was their firstborn son, they had to offer it to the Lord. Be dedicated to the Lord all of his life, this child. And if you were not a Levite, Levites were not exempt. They were always the firstborn sons had to be dedicated to the Lord, doing the work of the Lord. But you could pay a price, a redemption price, and not have to do that. And so they came to consecrate their son to the Lord. They were doing just what faithful parents always do. This is an ordinary moment. And then it said, at that time, Joseph and Mary come. But this was not an ordinary moment, was it? The word now moves the story along when we are introduced to Simeon. It means at this present moment, at this exact time, or we might say it just so happened that as Joseph and Mary were coming with Jesus, Simeon happened to come along as well. A chance encounter or a divine appointment? We've had these before where you're in a location. We were at Costco a few months back, and we see somebody, and we said, oh, we know you. You were our daughter's kindergarten teacher from Wisconsin Rapids, right there in Costco in Kenosha. And we recognize her. She didn't recognize me, because I think the last time she saw me, I had hair. But I recognized her. How could you forget? A chance encounter. It just so happens. Had we been a minute later, we would not have encountered her. You know what that's like. And then suddenly you're like, oh, now let's catch up. How have you been? And what's going on? Where's your daughter at? And all that. Beautiful. Here it was, at this exact moment in time, the Son of God who took on flesh happened to be here in the midst of the tabernacle. Now you think about that. The one who, John says, tabernacled in the midst of his people, the embodiment of the temple. That's what the temple was there. That was the place that represented the presence of God in the midst of his people. And here it was, God himself coming at that very time. It was an ordinary moment, people just living their lives, but at the same time, extraordinary. You know, if you were there that day, you might have been a little bit disappointed with this ordinary couple. There was nothing special about them, just doing what they all did. You would be a little disappointed about the child himself. In some of the paintings, you know, there's always a little halo, so you always know which one's Jesus. There's a halo behind his head. It wasn't like that. He was just an ordinary child. And I'm sure that the announcement of the angels, the shepherds that came, and then new parents, they say, well, now what do we do with this baby? But the angel's announcement said that this was going to be a special child, but here we are. I don't know what we have to do next. What do we do? Well, we have to go 40 days. Let's go to the temple. And so they did. And here in this moment, this extraordinary moment, and I hope you capture the intensity of that word now, at this very exact time, the creator of the world is in their midst. And so many people walking around didn't even notice it. Years later, you hear the cry of this very child, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you had known this day what would give you peace. But you did not recognize it, and now it is hidden from your eyes. But one man knew. One man knew. This was Simeon. He happened to show up in the right place at the right time. He was described as a righteous man, as a devout man. He was devoted to the servant of God. What was his occupation? We don't know a lot about him, but I think I figured it out. He was a waiter. Yeah, that's right. He was a waiter. He was waiting. What was he doing? Somebody might ask him, what are you doing here today, Simeon? Well, I'm waiting. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel, what does that mean? Well, that takes you right back to what does the word consolation mean? You know, like if you're feeling sad, what do you need? You need a hug. That consoles you a little bit. If you have an owie as a boy or a girl, you cry and somebody hugs you and it's going to be all right. That's consolation. Or it could be words. words that just give you hope and encouragement to help you pick yourself up and keep on going. A consolation is, you know, in sports, it's the prize that you get when you don't win it all. Sorry, Packer fans. You get the consolation prize. It's to give you comfort, hope, and encouragement. Simeon was waiting for the consolation. You see, the nation Israel had suffered greatly through the years. Yes, it was according to their sin. It was because they disobeyed God. But can you imagine? They were frequently overrun by foreign powers. It was a key location of land. They were under slavery in Egypt, and then God brought them out. They were good candidates for a consolation prize. Usually at this time of the year, we go to Isaiah chapter 40, which says, "Comfort you, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been complete, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." That's a great consolation prize. You're going to get more for your time of suffering than you even imagined. Kind of a permanent comfort that could only come by way of the suffering servant of Isaiah. Later on, at the end of this very chapter, it says, "All those who hope or who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Isn't that a great consolation prize? That there's a time coming when whatever we are experiencing as suffering in our life right now will be more than made up the moment that we step in the presence of this suffering servant. So in that sea of faces, Simeon was doing his part. He was waiting for this consolation. And then one day, and there's a couple of things that they said about Isaiah, and one of them is that he was filled with the Spirit. He was doing what he does. He waits, but one day he was led. Something inside of him nudged him and said, "Go to the temple." He went to the temple and did what he always did. And then the Holy Spirit nudged him. There came Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus. And being filled with the Spirit, he knew at that exact moment, this is the consolation prize. This is what we have been waiting for. This is the moment. Ah, what a beautiful moment that was. And as he took the baby Jesus in his arm, he experienced peace. A peace that we often say is indescribable. It passes all of our ability to know. A perfect peace. Shalom. Everything was right at that moment. And he praised God and said these words, "At long last, O Lord, at long last, you can dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." That's the gift of peace, that assurance that everything is right. He knew at that moment. And what did he say at that moment? He said, number one, "I am prepared to die." Can you say that in your life? Other people have said this as well, you know, talking about why do I have peace? "Because I have seen salvation," he said. "I am looking salvation in the eyes. I'm holding in my hands." In the Christmas story, if you remember, it's so familiar to us. What was Zechariah's call? He was told of God's amazing provision of a Savior, one who would save people from their sins, and how his son, John the Baptist, would have a role in being a forerunner of this salvation. And Mary, what did she do? She rejoiced in God, her Savior, again. The angels told Joseph, Name him Jesus, which means God will save people from the sin. That's a theme of the Bible. It comes up again and again. If you look at all the Bible stories, salvation is key. You think of the flood. Noah, what did he have to do? He had to go in the ark. God told him how to build it. What was Noah's job? Just build the ark. And who's going to save him? God. God is going to save him from their sins. Every story of the Bible, you think even of Jonah. Jonah, who ran away from God because he knew that God was gracious and kind and merciful, and he didn't want God to save his enemies. And so he ran away and he got swallowed up by a big fish. He was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. The fish spit him up on the land, and he proclaimed a message, and many people came to know this God, and they were saved. Esther, same story. Same thing. What was Esther's job? Just doing what she needed to do. And who saved the people? God did through her. Those who were saved were delivered wholly by God's work on their behalf. Same in this story now. I love how Alistair Begg says this. He says, salvation is not the story of men and women saving ourselves. No, we're not just doing our best, asking God to give us a hand. The story of salvation is the story of God doing for us what we are patently unable to do for ourselves, to be saved from our sins, to be saved from the consequences of our sins. Ah, that's a mystery. It's a mystery. We don't know how that happened. But here, at the exact moment, Simeon's life work is complete. It doesn't lack anything because he is holding in his hands that precious consolation prize that he had been longing for all of his life. He has peace. Do you, in this Christmas season, 2025, do you have that peace? You have that peace that says, Lord, anytime you want to take me, I'm ready to go. Because I've lived my life fully. We don't know much about Simeon beyond this experience. He came into this story for two paragraphs, and then he was gone. And he was totally happy with that. Isn't that sort of a mini picture of all of our lives? We don't know how long we're going to be here. We are here for a time. You can be very, very young. You could be very, very old in terms of what we know as young and old. But can we say, I have peace. I'm ready to go. Whatever you want to do with me, Lord, I'm okay with it. Peace, perfect peace. We long for it. And if we have that peace, then we're ready to live. We're ready to do our part. Maybe we will have a part. We will be a part of something that will be known in history for years and years. Maybe not. Two or three generations after we're gone, all that's going to be left on most of our names are just a little plot of ground and a cemetery stone that says, so-and-so lived, born this time. Died that time, lived this much time. We're not ready to die, but when we are, wow, what a beautiful thing it is. We are then ready to live. Simeon never wrote a book, never led a great movement. He never did anything else noteworthy as far as we know. It was for this very moment that he was born. He doesn't need to see anything more of this child that he's holding in his arm. He doesn't need to see Jesus grow up. He doesn't need to hear his teachings. He doesn't need to see his miracles. He doesn't have to see him opening up and having his great transfiguration, that time where he just unzips his humanity and he sees the glory. Simeon doesn't need to see that. He doesn't need to see the death that Jesus experienced and that he rose from the grave. He knew that at this moment, he's okay. Whatever you want with me, Lord, I am content. he was ready to dismiss from being a waiter to being a receiver of ultimate peace. And at this point, Simeon looks at Mary and says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many. It'll be a sign." Here's that word sign again, that Jesus is a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And Mary, by the way, a sword will pierce your own soul. Wow. You know, Christmas really splits us into two camps. Since Jesus entered into the world, he has divided us. He forces people to make a decision about him. So many people gather at the temple. They gathered at that temple that day, but very few saw Jesus for who he actually was. Salvation in the flesh. I wonder, are we waiting for that consolation prize? What are we really longing for in our lives? I want to challenge those of you who are very young. Don't wait until tomorrow to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Do it now. There's a big lie that tomorrow, once I live my life a little bit, then I'll turn to Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear. You don't even know what your life will be. You're like a little bit of smoke, a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes, says James. We live our life by the grace of God. Every breath that we take in is a gift from God. Now is the time to hold the child in your hand. Don't wait. You say, "I can come to Jesus Christ anytime or come to God anytime I want," but the Bible clearly disagrees. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The Holy Spirit blows where he wills." Wherever he wills and when he wills. Apart from the Spirit, we don't have any power. See, there's a very key thing happening in Simeon's life that night. He was led by the Spirit to be at that temple at that moment. He went because the Holy Spirit brought him there. He recognized Jesus for who he was because the Holy Spirit brought him to that recognition there. Why the Bible relentlessly calls us to respond today. Today, if you hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts. If you think you have your life stretched out in front of you, I just invite you, young people, middle-aged people, older people, let this be the day of your repentance and your full surrender to him. And you will find the peace that Simeon experienced fully. I want to talk to the old people as well. I just joined that austere group of people just a few weeks ago. I'm now old. Here's my challenge to old people. We're not just marking time. Simeon was faithful in the little things that he did. Be faithful. It matters what you do every day and what you do every day for the Lord. Your life can be a blessing to so many others. And I want to challenge you to stay faithful. It would have been easy for Simeon to conclude that his best days were behind him, but he kept pressing on. Nobody really knows how old Simeon was. Most people say he was an old man, but he could have been a middle-aged man. We don't know that for sure. But what we do know is that he was faithful to God's call in the little things that he did every day. And that goes for you too, us old people. It does matter a lot. We can't just disengage from life, but stay engaged. Stay devoted to God. Stay dependent on his Spirit. And then he'll lead you to an encounter with Emmanuel, God with us. I pray that for us all. Would you join me in prayer? Father, dear desire of every nation, You are the joy of every longing heart, everyone who is looking forward to something in their life that is more. As we have looked through the eyes of Simeon, so help us to see that you are our salvation. We ask that you will speed up that day when people will acknowledge you as Savior and Lord over all. Hurry that day when your presence and the strong hand of your purpose will not only be in the hearts of a few brave and wise people, but throughout the land, in the courts, in the council chambers, at home, in every school, in every office space, in marketplace, in factories, in farms, wherever people go. O God of peace, fill our hearts with hope as we remember again why you came to earth. May hope, peace, joy fill our hearts, and may we reflect your love in thought, word, and deed. Keep us faithful to the very end, Lord. May we be able to say with Simeon, now, Lord, as you have promised, do with me what you may. I'm ready to go wherever you lead, however you lead me, for the glory of your great name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.